Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics and coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. I am one half of the podcast Sharks Fanatic Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week by my fellow Sharks Fanatic, Sydney singer, songwriter, Fox Sports statsman, and all around good bloke, Sam Shenazzy.
Hey, Newman, how you doing? It's derby week, so I'm pretty excited, but I'm also a little bit melancholic from that performance last week. Got to turn around quick. Get in touch with us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and we'd love to hear from you.
And the official records will read that the Sharks were easily accounted for by a pretty good and clinical Sydney Roosters, 32 points to 10, which leaves us languishing in 11th place on the NRL ladder. There really wasn't much to like about the performance. It was flat, it was tepid, it was insipid, and it's really not a great start to season 2018. Sam, what was your take on it?
Plenty of opportunities in the first 30 minutes, Newman. A lot of line breaks, one from Brayley. Generally playing okay, defending well, but they couldn't capitalize on those chances. The Roosters were clinical. I thought they were fairly easy to read. And that meant that the first three tries were from kicks, which really should not even have happened. The kicks were so simple. Those errors led to us being behind. And the old, what do you call it, Newman? The try before halftime? You got a saying for that, don't you? A little catchphrase.
Sharky snooze button.
The Sharky snooze button came in at 39.50 or something. And it wasn't good enough all around.
No, and you're right. I mean, the Roosters didn't throw that much at us. And the two tries that they scored from kicks, I mean, Sosia Fekie, I've been critical of him under the high ball, but they weren't even high ball. Like, it was easy to handle. The first try was just a straight off drop. And then the second try, Fergo outleapt him, which is no, you know, he's not a tall man, Sosia Fekie, but Wade Graham was just so slow in getting across to cover the inside man. And had he shown some urgency, he would have stopped, what was his name? Connor Watson, who's ended up.
No, not Connor Watson, he's in Newcastle, but I know who you mean.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy. I also need to correct you, Newman. It was 28 to 10, not 32 to 10.
Mate, I'm that disinterested in the result. We got beat, and I apologize to the listeners out there for that. Getting it going across it. It felt like 32-10, but
it did. It was disappointing. We've waited all year for these guys to play. We're 2-3, I believe. We haven't scored over 16 points. We have the worst attacking stats in the NRL.
We never win at home.
We don't win at home. I think it's 6 from 16 or something. They need to turn around pretty quick. Your season can get ahead of you. And, okay, you can still make the 8 from a large way into the competition. But we all know you want to be top 4 to have a shot at it. And at the moment, we're not even close.
No. And we're probably one of the worst teams in the comp. Let's get the mitigating factors out of the way. There are some mitigating factors as to why we're playing bad.
Sure.
Well, why our season has been so slow to start. We have had an objectively tough draw. This is true. However, and on top of that, we have had some variation in the team. We've had disruptions in terms of who's playing where. We started with Val at fullback. Then we had Dugan there. We were now on our third fullback in Moylan on Friday night. And I thought Moylan was pretty good at fullback. Dugan's been in and out. We've had varying halves combinations. We lost our best player in Bakuya. So there are disruptions to the team. However, you are dead right in that we are not playing well, and I don't think we look urgent. That's what worries me.
Yeah, and the Melbourne game, in some capacity, whether it was mental or physical, would have taken something out of them. It was a war. But,
and Melbourne looked flat too, which is worth pointing out.
They did, but in relation to both teams, it was a week later. You're at home. There's a good crowd. You want to go for 3 in a row and just keep the ball rolling. And aside from the chances of the first half, they didn't really look like they were going to win the game. A positive to keep you guys up a little bit, Moylan was fantastic.
He was great.
He was creative. Fullback. He was tough. He played tough, Newman. He's tougher than he looks.
He is, and we just talked to Robbie Willis at Sharkcast TV, and he seemed to think that Dugan will be back and straight into fullback, so I'm scratching my head with what Coach Flanagan's doing there. Hodko seemed to come back to the pack a little bit last week. No one ever thought that the Townsend-Hodkinson combination would be electric, but he looked... there's a little bit of plot about his game.
Well, when you play Melbourne, you need to score 12 to 14 points to beat them. When you play the Chooks, you got to score 24 to 30.
Yep.
And with all respect to Chad and to Hodko, that, as you said, not the most creative pairing. Now, that's okay when you've got a Moylan and you've got Valentine and other guys doing their job. But at the moment, it's all such a mishmash. Braden's still sort of learning. It's a bit of an issue with the halves not creating enough points, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I felt for Moylan because they were just tossing him the ball and these awful passes. Like, the amount of times he had to backtrack and pick the ball up off the ground, and then he still created a half chance. It was impressive. But, you know, let's apply the blowtorch now. Sosia Fekeh, Ricky Latelli, that edge, problem.
It is, and I'm going to throw in someone that may surprise some listeners, and I'm not calling for his head at all, but I personally believe Wade needs to improve his defense. He can defend.
Yep.
He can hit. We all know that. He's an origin player, whatever the hell that means. But I think sometimes he just goes missing a little bit. He runs out of the line a little bit, which means Ricky does, which means Fekeh does. I think that side in general is a bit of a weakness at the moment. Now, in relation to kick defense, for example... inexcusable. I mean, I love Fekeh as much as anyone, but he just has to catch those balls.
Well, it was very interesting. We'll talk about this more in the news, but I watched the Newtown Jets game, and St. George Illawarra had this half who was doing a good impression of Cooper Cronk named Darren Hutchinson,
right.
And he kicked at Aaron Gray all day.
Right.
And Aaron Gray just handled everything with aplomb. Even a couple of times, you know, got the ball in what was caught it in goals, picked up a grubber in goals and got out of a seemingly impossible situation. So he was definitely sending a message to Coach Flanagan, I'm here and I'm ready to go, because I think the blowtorch is going to be applied to Fekeh, and so it should. Like, I like him. I've never been his biggest fan, but he's been he was a premiership player and he always gave his heart and soul. But if the hammer's got to fall if you're not doing the job. You can't rest on your laurels.
Yeah, and I think from my opinion, it's probably his main weakness, but I don't think he has too many other ones. Like, he's strong in every other capacity for me as a winger, but if you can't do that, the frustrating thing for me, Newman, is I've seen him do it. I've seen him catch balls that I think he wouldn't. Yeah. He's going to drop it, and he caught it. These little ones, it's like, oh.
I've often been perplexed that teams don't kick to him that often.
Yeah.
I identified pretty early on that he was weakness under the high ball, and a lot of teams just don't kick to him. Cooper Cronk picked him out.
Mm.
And with Blake Ferguson on, it was just... It was a bath, but the frustrating thing was, it's not like they were wild kicks that he couldn't get near. They were easy stuff that he should have just eaten up.
The first one was just, my 2.5-year-old kid could have caught it.
Yeah, and the second one, there's like 20 seconds to go, bash it in the touch. Yeah. Just whack it, don't even try and catch it, just whack it in the touch, don't let them score. So, very disappointing. Now, someone asked me this, is a perplexing dichotomy, right?
Sure.
Let's say... There's four players on the market for outside back positions, and you can only take two. Those players are Jesse Ramian, Sione Katoa, Ricky Latelli, and Sosia Fekeh. Who would you sign?
That's a tough one, Newman. I would sign Katoa in a heartbeat. And, I mean, you got to say, based on performances, Ramian has got the goods. I think on their day, and we've seen it, Latelli and Fekeh, whether separate or together... can do the job, but they haven't done it this year.
No, they haven't done it. And I was quite interested. I actually saw Ricky. I've got an interesting, funny story for you, actually.
Yeah.
I pulled up at Cronulla on Saturday, and I had some Sharkcast hats in the car.
Hmm.
And Gav Miller is just walking down, and he sees me. He goes, "Oh, I knew him." And he goes, "Oh, look at that hat. That's unreal. I said, oh, you can have one if you want. Because most of them are back at the printers getting reprinted because there was an error in the printing. And I had a couple in the car and I went, oh, you know, here you go, Gavin. He's like, oh, yeah, unreal, unreal. And then he's like, Val and Ricky are up in the shop, up in the cafe up here, you know, the health food shop. They're up there. Hang on a second. Like, he runs up and he's grabbing them going, he's got these hats, he's got these hats. Anyway, Ricky was one of them.
Yeah.
So I was...
Did you give him a hat?
I had one hat. It went to Gab Miller.
Okay.
They, you know, they went back to the printer.
Sorry.
I just had
one.
I
thought you were going to say you didn't give Ricky a hat because he played bad.
No, no, no. But I was talking to him about the game. I said, come on, guys, what's happening? And Val looked like he wanted the ground to swallow him up. And I said, come on, you know we got your back.
Yeah.
But Ricky was just like, yeah, the attack's not clicking. I don't know what's happening. And I'm like, shouldn't we be worried about defense? Like, that's the first thing he was talking about, the attack.
Well, he's right, though.
The point I was originally trying to make about the Sione Katoa thing was, yes, it's not 2016 anymore. And
no,
we've
right.
got to look to the future. And if those guys aren't doing the job, like, you know, Wayne Bennett made a career out of moving people on when they needed to be moved on.
Someone was razzing me today at work. You know, she knows what's going on with the Sharks. And before I could answer, my colleague said, how about the fact that their average age is 45?
Yeah.
And I stood there and I went, oh, yeah.
Let's talk about Gal. He looks flat for me.
I think the effort is still there, and I think that the yardage is still there. How effective that is, I'm not sure. I don't think he's a massive issue for me at the moment, but the age-old question will be coming up of what's happening in the future. So,
I don't think he's going to play on next year, looking at him. He
I think out of,
beat up.
Out of him and Lewis has obviously played a lot less this year, you'd take Lewis if you were to pick one, for example.
Yep.
With Gallen, hand on heart, and I'm going to get roasted for this, and you're going to be the first one to roast me, so fire up your roaster, Newman. I'd kind of let him do what he wants if he wants to have another year.
Yeah, I understand. No, I understand that.
I mean, obviously, you couldn't throw the bank at him, but...
It's not that. That's not my issue. My issue is he doesn't look like he wants to be doing it. He's definitely... I feel like there's a bit of him going through the motions at the moment. You're never going to get, like, a subpar effort from him. Mm. He doesn't know any other way to play. But I just... it just, to me, looks like he just looks beat up.
I thought towards the end of the game, performance multiplied because it was the age-old thing of our halves aren't doing anything, I'm going to do something. So he sort of put the playmaker hat on, which... Mm-hmm. I commend him for the effort, but B, it's like, it doesn't really work. That's not your job. So it's a tough one for me, but as I said, I'd let him do what he wants.
Well, our forwards have been off the pace. I think Fifita, he's been serviceable, but he's an elite player, and he's certainly not playing like an elite front rower at the moment. Wade Graham, again, is supposed to be an elite player, isn't playing in an elite fashion. And when those guys aren't you know, barnstorming the house down, it makes it difficult for the rest of the team. We've got to see improvement. I mean, we're not sitting here bashing the team for the sake of it. We want to see them do well, but we've got to see improvement from these guys. Otherwise, Flanagan does have to think about dropping the axe. But as I said, we'll talk more about Newtown. I'm not seeing a lot at Newtown either.
I think there's a depth there, which we'll get into, but how good that depth is when it's crunch time, I don't know.
It's Derby week. The bloody NRL have put two derbies on. How many games all of us...
Oh, it's like, all right. Like, the other teams are all playing each other.
Yeah, like Penrith and Parramatta played about each other twice. The Tigers and the Storm have played. It's crazy. There's 16 teams.
You know what the NRL's like.
Man, all right, so are we going to keep applying the blowtorch or do we go to a break?
I was saying to you off air, the fact that a lot of teams have improved this year, and at the moment we've fallen backwards, is going to be costly because if they keep playing this way, we won't be fighting for the eight, we won't be in the eight. Yeah. And I was going to say there has been some improvement in the last 2 weeks with completions and with less penalties. But, Newman, the penalties last week were so badly timed. Fifth tackle
penalties.
A few repeats that okay, I can tick them off and go, yeah, but you're doing better. You there's 10 less, but the 7 you're doing are just really bad timing.
Let's talk about another elephant in the room.
Uh-oh.
Chad Townsend.
Well, yeah, let's do that because he's copped it all week and I feel like you're going to give it to him now. But I thought first half, at least last week, he was going all right. I know you got to play two halves, but let me hear what you got to say.
Just not doing it for me.
Really?
No. And he trialed so well. Mm. Like I thought, watching him in the trials, I thought this is a new Chad who's willing to take his game to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, he always sort of, for me, was the kind of player that might get a call up into a City jersey.
Yeah, which he did.
Yeah, which he did. And that's probably the level of where he's at now. He might get a City jersey, he might not. But we need to see continuous improvement from him, particularly without Maloney next to him. You know, he's got to do more, and we're just not seeing it.
But
and
see,
we just
that's...
don't see it often enough. Like, remember last year when he won that game against the Tigers with a chip and chase? And
yeah, yeah.
A little bit of expansive play. We're just not seeing it.
I feel like he's had his moments this year where we have seen it, but not for whole games. I think his kicking's improved out of sight. But I think it's almost unfair, Newman, that what you said about him stepping up because Moylan's gone.
Maloney.
The whole world wants him to become a creative playmaker. When he spent his whole career in youth being the guy guiding the ship, and he'd pass it to the bloke who would be the creative guy. We bought Moylan for that job.
Well, no, let me slow you down.
Please.
There. He's not. Because when are you saying, oh, Chad Townsend really fed our attacking men really well?
When am I saying that?
Yeah, when has he done that? When have you sat down and said...
He had his moments in 16, 17.
Chad really fed... His mandate was to get the ball to our... You know, our explosive outside backs. They don't see the ball. We've got a great back line.
No, but I'm saying now people want him to do that.
Yeah,
they expect him to do that. But I'm saying he hasn't really been that guy.
No.
That's my point.
Maybe it's a coaching issue. But I don't see... Like, I actually see Moylan get the ball and really try and fling it wide.
Yeah,
you know, and feed the outside backs. Where Chad just... I don't know. He looks robotic.
Yeah, but in a lot of ways, as I keep saying, that's kind of his role. He's the guy that steers him around on the fifth. He kicks it, and he's the halfback in this modern day. And the six, and here we go, the one, they're the creative ones.
So you're saying that it's okay for him to be just mediocre?
Not at all. I'm saying that all of a sudden we expect him to be like Maloney.
Yeah.
And he's never going to be like Maloney.
So he's not an elite player?
He's not a creative attacking genius like Maloney is.
So he's got to do better at what he does.
Or we have a Moylan in the six, or we buy someone to play six, and they can do the job.
I don't prescribe to that theory. You need more from your seven. Unless you've got an absolute superstar like a JT in your team that he's going to partner with, he's got to offer more than just steadying the ship. Because why not just have Trent Hodgkinson, who's better at that role?
You only need one in the team. I think that's an issue we have right now. So who that is, that's up to the coach. I think the coach has a lot to answer for. I really do.
Does he look like he's out of ideas? I mean, his press conferences all sound the same now.
Every week, the answers are, we'll get that sorted. We'll get that sorted straight away.
It was a brave performance.
It's not a knock against Flano, but I'm saying that Flano, as you said, he needs to be more creative. But I just think this whole recruitment thing, and we've got 11 guys who can play fullback, but how many can really play six? And the six we got from last week, is he going to be creative enough? And it's like a jigsaw puzzle, like any team. But he's missing a few pieces, or the pieces are in the wrong place.
And I made the comment last week that he's going against type, where he used to just really pick and stick and it'd drive us mad, where he picked the same team week in, week out, when there were people, you know, knocking on the door, and he, you know, he'd pick the tried and tested favourites and run with them. Now it seems like he's chopping and changing, and some of it's due to injury, but he seems really reactive.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know, he's damned if he does. If the team plays badly, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't.
I don't blame him for guys kicking out in the full. I don't necessarily blame him for missed tackles and that kind of thing. But they're playing under his leadership, and even just not being up for game sometimes, that thing will always bug me. And
they didn't look up for the game on Friday.
I don't get that. And I'm not saying that you can be some sort of championship winning team every year, every week, whatever, but you got to go out there and play all heart. And you know, a team like the West Tigers, okay, they're not going to play that way all year. And they're very limited in skill.
But that's what you want from your team. Busting
a nut. I actually like watching them. Like, people go, oh, what a low game. It's like, they're playing for each other.
I know. And you certainly don't get that vibe from the Sharks at the moment. All right, it is disappointing. We're going to cut to a break. And when we come back on the other side, we'll have the news. This is Sharkcast Radio, brought to you by Dyson Logistics.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes, local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolooware Road, Woolooware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
Dykes, Ebbinghausen, Peachy. Fullback playing it.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCG. S. It is the news, and lower grades wrap Samuel, SG Ball and Matthews Cup had a loss, but they have made the semi-finals. They play semi-finals this weekend at Leichhardt Oval on Saturday. Jersey Flegg, the under-20s, had a 13-all draw. I spoke to the coach, Dave Howlett. He's very disappointed, felt that it was one that got away. The Tasha Gale women's team won by heaps. And I went to Henson Park and watched the Newtown Jets. And now I know there's been a lot of chatter on the forums and a lot of chatter on the groups about certain individuals being sacked. Now, you can't drop and sack players, in my view, unless there's someone better knocking the door down.
Can you tell me who some of those are, aside from the ones we've talked about? Is anyone else?
Well, they're talking about dropping Fecky. They're talking about dropping Latelli.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about dropping Capel. Mm-hmm. They're talking about dropping Seguiaro.
Mm-hmm.
And some quarters are talking about the likes of Pryor getting a rocket.
Are they kidding? He was our best forward out there.
I know.
Okay, go on. I just want to stop you there. You're cutting yourself a little bit short there, my friend. You called the game for Steel Sports Radio.
It was great. It was a great experience, a lot of fun. Up there in a little sweat box up above the canteen at Henson Park, watching the big A380s fly over and bank over the ground. It's really awesome. But I got to say, the likes of Dylan, Uwele, Magoulias didn't really fill me with any sort of... I didn't see any of them think their squad needs to be in first grade.
Yeah, right.
Not even close. Kyle Flanagan, forget it. He's a mile off being ready for NRL. Mm-hmm. He's capable at that level.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a very young kid. His body is really small.
So it's a physical thing?
It's a physical thing.
Okay.
He's competing at that level, yep. and that's probably what the coaching staff want from him at this stage.
Yep.
And I think he'll step up and begin to dominate as the season rolls on, but you can't put it. You kill him if you put him in the NRL. Mm. It'd hamstring him for later in his career. The one, Edric Lee, forget it. He had an Edric Lee game. The one player who is really standing out for the Newtown Jets is Aaron Gray.
Now, you've raised that to me twice in the last few hours, Newman, and I think that's awesome because he showed a lot of character in the off-season, a lot of promise. He has a good attitude about him, which I like. He's still young. Game against the Dragons, round two, he had two howlers and didn't cost us the game, but they just came at bad times.
Oh, he had a shocker. There's no doubt about it.
How do we throw him back in and trust him, or is it just he's got to take the chance?
Well, he's done the right thing.
I stamped him with the red stamp.
Yeah, you never again him, didn't you?
Early on.
Yeah, after one game, and it's probably unfair.
Harsh.
Harsh. I mean, he's done the right thing in that he's gone back to the Reggies with a good attitude and said, I'm going to work my way back into first grade by playing well. And he looks too good for that grade. And I talked about it in the first segment. You know, Fecky's dropping the ball to Lux and not offering much on the wing there, where Aaron Gray did everything Fecky couldn't do with aplomb. And even a couple of times, like, the Dragons had a fantastic kicking game, rolled the ball into the in-goals. You know, he picks it up from the in-goal, 1 metre from the... And he'd make it back into the field of play.
He's a powerful kid.
Yeah, or he'd catch an acrobatic above-head catch, get to the ground and not get dragged in. So he was doing all that stuff that Fecky's not doing. You know, if you bring him back in and he has another shocker, then
yeah,
sorry, mate.
Yeah, sure.
But he's the one that's really calling for it. But those forwards, Cable, you drop Cable. I don't see much out of Cable either. But if you bring in the likes of a Magoulias or a Kurt Dillon, maybe we need to carry another big boffer on the bench.
I wouldn't mind Dillon getting his chance.
Just like a piston, get out there, win the post contact meters.
Sometimes Newman. Look, I know you have to do the hard yards, and it sounds like Aaron Gray's doing it. Sometimes you put someone in a better competition, they're going to play better.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a risk.
Yeah. And you put better players around them, and they look better and all that sort of
stuff. Yeah. I want to try Ueli, but not right now. I want to make sure he's ready, because he's got all the attributes.
He did have moments where he was really winding up and hitting hard in defense, but then he just drops off.
Yeah, it'd be a short stint, but I think that'll be later in the year.
He's got that. To me, I don't know if you can carry him and Arva. They're very similar in that they're short burst players of high energy. You're not getting a lot of quality work out of them.
How did Brayley Jr. go?
Good.
He's good.
But he's just too young.
Too small.
Too small, and he did a couple of things like he jumped out of dummy half, kicked it dead.
Right. So what you're saying is, you are saying there's only one guy standing out for you, and that is a three-quarter type player.
Yep.
Now, what are we going to do? I know we're in the news section, but what the hell? What are we going to do about this bench?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's relevant to the news because it's how the lower grades are going. I don't understand the bench rotation.
We yap on about it every week. We have similar-ish thoughts. People out there who listen to us have varying thoughts, and we encourage that. And
why Sefa Paulo, who, you know, is a quality player, gets like 10 minutes and plays like three positions. He comes out and like plays, does a couple of hit ups as a prop, and then goes to like a weird second 5'8" role.
Yeah. You know, why does Kurt Capewell, who we haven't seen much out of, but to be fair to him, why is he coming on so late?
Yeah, I know.
Like, he can't necessarily turn the game with the way he plays, but he can provide more, either with more time or in a solid position.
He looks itching to get out there.
Oh, he's a good player. He's a top fella. I want him to succeed.
He's one way to put it, and you just feel like
I want him to succeed. Off that bench, though, you know, Arva, big tick, doing fabulously. Paulo, I would definitely keep on there, and then I'm going for two big blokes. And we spoke to Rob Willis before about your likes of your Capewell and even Captain America to a degree. And he was saying that in a lot of ways, they're backups for our second rowers.
Yep.
In Wade Graham and Luke Lewis. To me, that was, and no offense to Robbie, that was a piss poor answer.
Well, Wade Graham's an 80-minute player.
And so is Lukey. Lukey has an injury every now and then.
Luke Lewis is an 80-minute player. When Bakuya comes back, he's a 60-minute player.
Yeah.
So that doesn't leave you many minutes to bring. I mean, they bring Seguiaro on and hurry up. You know, he tries way too hard.
Yeah.
And it's not happening for him, and I don't know.
Unless they do what we've talked about and they bring him on earlier and then later in two stints. Yep. I would like to see that before I just put the knife through him, but I don't understand why there aren't bigger guys on our bench for starters.
I can't suggest to you a better bench, though.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Newman, for me, when I look up the dictionary, the bench is there for explosiveness, for changing of the game. It's not there just to keep on keeping on.
What about this?
Yeah.
2016.
Yeah.
Right? What was the interesting thing about our bench in 2016? You remember? We carried an outside back on the bench.
Genius move in the grand final.
Right? And it worked. Why not put Aaron Gray on the bench in that whole Ricky Latelli, who was the other bloke?
Our friend Gerard Beale.
Gerard Beale, yeah. They had that Ricky Latelli, Gerard Beale thing going on.
Well,
why not put Aaron Gray on the bench? It worked for us before.
It would. I'd be okay with that, but you need to get rid of Seguiaro at the very least.
I don't see a problem with that. I mean, if Jaden Brayley needs a break, you can put Sefer in there.
I thought he was good last week.
Yeah.
The kid.
He's okay. All right, other news. 15,000 members. Samuel, this club has ticked up over 15,000 members, which is good news. The people of the Shire are getting behind the club.
I think we're getting near a record, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's 15,000 and change. So it went to 15,000. And they need a few more, and there's a heap of membership options out there. We've said it a million times. If you listen to this podcast and you're not a member, wake up to yourself.
Wake up.
Can you think of any other news at the club? Malcolm Turnbull, 30 news, pull up poles in a row.
And his little mate, Scott Morrison.
Oh, big Malcolm was at the game.
Is that what you were talking about? I was like hallucinating. So it was broken to me by Jason the Finn Man.
Oh, right.
He walked past me. He's like, Sam, did you see Malcolm? And I was like, I don't know anyone called Malcolm. And he goes, the Prime Minister. I went, oh, the Prime Minister's right here? And he goes, yeah.
Would you get a selfie with him?
No.
Why not?
He's a Roosters fan. I'm not really a fan of politics, but I don't think he's doing a great job. And the bloke he hangs out with, our number one ticket holder, yeah, come on, man.
No.
Who made that decision?
Nasty.
I can't. I'm getting in trouble now. We're in trouble.
Mean and nasty. We vote for the helping hand, not the iron fist.
Boy.
We do.
What do you think about Israel Folau?
Gronk. All right. Now, we don't have any letters. What are you people doing? Write into us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. This is Sharkcast Radio, voice of the fans.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. Tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
Five gongs for the men from Cronulla. As it comes back for Kamali to go to Cavalli. He's put it down for try.
Got it down.
Straight up above to Nila Tuaki. And Hampstead has asked the touch judge, what have you seen? And he wants to have a look at the put down.
Well,
the high-flying Luke Cavell.
It is a goal. I'm a coming home. my baby, she wrote me a letter. Now, I told a lie. It has come to the time of the show where we go out in front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters at 1 Eddinghausen Lane, Woolooware, and see what the little sharky who rips around the neighborhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot. The letters you can get at sharkcastpod@gmail.com or Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at sharkcastpod. Now, we've got a couple this week. What do you got, Samuel?
Yeah, we've got more than a couple. I don't know what you're going on about as usual. We got one.
I'm very tired tonight, Sam.
You sound $1 million. We got one from at Cracker Sean.
Yep.
And he says, the block play is dead. How are we going to score tries? 7 tries from 5 games. We need a 5/8. We can't win games and be on the wrong side of the penalty count. The Roosters are one of the better sides. On to the next.
Yeah, I don't like the block play at all. You know, I watch the Dogs play and it's just robotic. And it goes to type. And, like, how often do you see a team march up the field and 20 metres out they go block, play, block, play, block, and score off it? It doesn't happen.
No.
They score off offloads. They're more likely to score off a shit pass that hits the deck and someone has to wheel back and then they pick it up and then the defence doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So maybe this could be coached. We should talk to Shane Flanagan when he comes and say, have you thought about deliberately throwing the ball on the ground, hey? You're loving a surprise.
We've got another one from Andrew Hills. Hi, guys. So disappointed with the performance this year. Don't seem to have any real passion. Ooh, it's a big call. Unless it's a massive turnaround, I think we have to accept we're just not going to have a good enough year. I wish we had the heart that the Tigers and Warriors are showing with a far less celebrated roster. Keen to grab a trucker hat. Thanks, Andrew.
Well, you can't get a trucker hat because they've been sent back to the printers for a rectification.
You can get one, just not right now.
Not right now. That's right.
We will let you know when that's ready. Playing with no real passion. Yes, no.
I mean, look at the game against the Storm. It was filled with passion. And I said this to my mates. If we played the Storm every week, we probably win the comp or we finish top four. I think, and I said it all last year, I think there's an arrogance in the team. They look at who they, you know, how many State of Origin players we have and how many internationals we have and say, we should win this game if we just go through our motions. And I think sometimes they get their pants pulled down and they play that way. They play like they're expecting to win without maybe putting the effort in. I think that's a good call there from Andrew.
Now, we've got one from, I can't read his thing, but it's Milky Bar Kid. Just came in, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Said, what's going on with no clock at the ground throughout the Roosters match? That's part one.
Now, Milky Bar Kid, this annoys the hell out of me. I complained bitterly to Lyle Gorman about this, and he guaranteed me that the problem would never happen. Right, and I can tell you, I've sat in the control box for junior reps, and the clock is a bastard of a thing.
Yeah.
Whoever invested in that, it's the oldest piece of junk you've ever seen in your life. However,
so we're referring to the clock on the screen.
Right? The NRL came in and issued a directive and said you don't run your own clock at the ground.
Yep.
You use broadcast time.
Yep.
So the broadcast time is coming from Nine and Fox, but it needs to come up on the screen. So I don't know whose fault it was. But the fact that there's no clock is just BS.
And they were also showing some weird NRL.com version of the game with all these stats popping up all of a sudden. That wasn't Fox. It was like every 3 minutes they'd show the offloads and the...
Well, our mate Scott Maxworthy might know something about that. We can grill him, but I...
Maxworthy doesn't know what day it is. How's he going to know that?
Are you checking whether he's listening?
He listens every week, I know for a fact.
It's infuriating that the clock does not work. And I mean, come on, guys. It's 2018... This is, you know...
So the second part of his point was, what happens if Chad needs to kick a field goal but doesn't know how long there is left in the match?
Fair, 100% fair point. And they should have never ripped down that bloody scoreboard.
I loved it.
And the clock. We never had this problem back in the day.
I love that. They should have just kept that, A, for historic purposes, and B, just kept it going. I could have done it.
We could have done it. I would have loved to have been up there sticking your head out. A
couple of Shark Island Brewers would have done it.
Apparently the clock was in storage for a while. Because they were going to put it back up at the ground somewhere, and then someone just threw it away.
Yeah.
Now you can't take down the old score. You couldn't. The old scoreboard was part of a building, and they had to pull the building down because it was full of asbestos.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Maybe that's for the best.
Bloody annoying, mate.
Now keep talking, Newman, because I've got another one. I'm just going to find it. Oh, here's one from our friend RCB. Going back through the Flano years, as he calls it, the try total of 8 tries through 5 games, and that's differed from our last letter, right? But anyway. Is the lowest in his tenure as coach. What do you think about that?
Well, I think a big part, I think it's an unfair stat because a big part of it is during the early round penalty blitz, we were taking the two, which was, you know, impeding our ability to score tries. So that was a different metric, but I'm concerned our attack certainly doesn't look good. I don't feel like when we get up the other end of the field, we're going to create a nice looking try. And I certainly don't feel that against the Dragons, too much is going to change. Like, if we're going to beat the Dragons, it's going to be something like 14-12. We're not going to score 30 points.
Yeah, that's got to change throughout the year though, right?
100%.
Like, I'm happy to play that in the finals should we get there, but you might not get there playing that way every week.
No.
Now, we had a very special letter from a good guy called Jay, who's got his own Facebook group. I think it's called Sharks NRL Discussion, something like that.
Jay Westwood.
He's a good guy, and he writes to us a lot, and we appreciate it. He's written us, he uses the word essay, and he's not wrong. Now, I'm not going to read it all out because I'm just not going to, but it's fantastic. But the main crux is this. I'm very frustrated after watching the Roosters kill us the other night. Flanner needs to get this team working and using their strength. It's not 2016 anymore, as you said before. This year, I was expecting an exciting style of play. Flanno pointed out in the interviews pre-season, as did the players. If our defence isn't on, we literally have nothing. And then he goes through pretty much every position and some really valid points. Some differ from my thoughts, but there's nothing wrong with that. So, AJ, we appreciate everything you wrote to us. What are your thoughts on some of that, Newman?
I know that he's a student of the game, and he's got some very strident opinions.
Big Seggy man.
Is he? Okay. Yep.
That's his opinion.
He's allowed to be a big Seggy man. Yeah, well, look, we made those points that it's not 2016 and you got to play to the team's strengths. You know, and if we have a game where Moylan and Dugan start to combine and get Val some ball on the outside and he scores three tries and we get one through the middle, like, that's four tries, and all of a sudden we're saying our attack's not that bad. But there are reasons for concern at the moment, and there's nothing to tell you that it's going to get better this week.
Yeah.
Well, a week's a long time in footy and all those other cliches, so.
Oh, look, they will tell you if passes stick, et cetera, et cetera, and you can't dispute that, but 5 weeks in, the Sharks are the worst attacking team. That's alarm bells.
Yeah, and it was, yeah, look, it's you're not going to get an argument. There's no argument from me. I agree with that.
Now, something that Jay raised, which is annoying me at the moment, Newman, is the realization that we've spent all summer waiting for this team to come out, and they've spent all summer training and doing their hard stuff. And then we're 5 weeks in, and it's just not happening. And yes, there are reasons.
Uh-huh.
There's a strong team they're putting out every week.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit flat about it all. I've got to tell you, I don't know, as you say, where it's going to... I don't know if it's necessarily going
to
come.
Well, I'm going to the game on Friday. I'm not excited about it at all.
Well, I mean, it's exciting. It's a derby. There's a little bit of energy there that you want to smash that awful club.
No.
Well, you do.
Oh, well, I want them to win, but of course I want them to win. That's why I'm not excited, because the Dragons look really good and we look awful.
Dragons look really good. But I'm frustrated by that fact that it's all a bit of a work in progress.
Yeah.
I think that a team that wins the comp 1.5 years ago...
Well, you know one thing about teams that win the comp, right? They play well every week, usually. Yeah. They don't put in too many stinkers. They select a consistent lineup.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do, which we haven't done at any point.
I understand.
So those are the metrics that we're failing on.
I understand that. There are reasons. There are injuries.
Yeah, I know. But also, the chopping and changing...
Hmm.
You know, we were told all off-season
that
Val was going to be our fullback by hook or by crook.
Yeah.
And Flanagan was going to stay. Okay, he played. He was awful. He was awful. You won't get an argument out. And so he was moved. Gray comes in. Gray plays one bad game. He gets sacked. It's just, they're chopping and changing a lot.
And back to your point about the left side and Fecky and Ricky. I mean, why are these guys getting multiple chances? Okay, they won the premiership. They've been very loyal to us. But if he's going to be chopping and changing, maybe he should do it week to week. This guy let in 2 tries.
Yep. Well, there's no continuity, but, you know, it does send a message that if you don't perform.
Yeah, I don't mind that part of it.
Yeah. Oh, mate, it's hard. Like, Jay, we're all battling with it. It would be... It's easy to criticise, too. It's really easy to criticise.
It is.
And you sit there and go, oh, he's got the bench rotation wrong, and he's got the... why is he picking Fecky? Why is he picking Lattelli? They've been back. But, I mean, if you're in his shoes, are you going to go to Fecky, who's given you so much good service over the years, and go, mate, sorry, you dropped the ball a couple of times. Go play for Newtown. I'm going to pick someone else. And if this guy plays good...
When you're in a team environment, which you'd know more than I would, no one necessarily singles out players, at least in a public sense. They will say, oh, yeah, he dropped the ball there, but as a group, we lost the game. So whether the coach does that to him privately, I don't know, but...
Oh, I've seen it in team environments where, like, blokes...
Publicly, though, I mean, the public...
Not publicly, yeah. But, you know, team leaders have had to go to blokes and say, you know, you're giving away stupid penalties. Mm. It's costing the team. It's hurting everybody. You're letting the team down. Fix it. And, you know, there are a lot of those... I don't know if those conversations are going down. I've said it before. Mick Ennis used to be big on that.
Yeah.
Real accountability. So... It's hard to know without being in the inner sanctum. All right, well, that wraps us up for the letters. We also have a tweet from Luke at Benora Point. He said, I've got a tip for you, boys.
What might that be?
Don't eat yellow snow. So you can get in touch with the SharkCastPod at gmail.com or Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at SharkCastPod. We're going to cut to a break. And we come back on the other side. We'll have a short preview of the Dragons game. It's Derby Week. Get pumped up.
This stage, that's the second time they've had the football, Brisbane. Their second mistake, and just handing over possession to Cronulla in good field position now, right on the halfway line.
Ettinghausen and Green laying it on. Peachy's into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best scrum moves you've ever seen.
Welcome back to the show. Believe it or not, we felt like we had a derby only 3 weeks ago because we did. And it is now Derby Week, and we're not going to the toilet that is Cogger. We're going to the toilet that is Wollongong Wynn Stadium, Friday night, 7:50 kickoff. We don't have a team yet for you, but we did just do Sharkcast TV, and Robbie Willis seems to think that Josh Dugan is a certainty to come back. And I also heard, Sam... that Dugan wanted to play and the medical staff held him back because it might have given Flanagan a bit of levity to try that Moylan at fullback experiment.
That's an interesting one, Newman. I hadn't heard that one before. By the time this is out, the teams will probably be close to being announced anyway. So you'll know what's going on. Check out your sharks.com.au for your official team. I want to give a shout out again to Moylan. Played well.
Yep.
But also played injured. I think around the 60th minute, right near where I was, he was carrying some sort of arm injury, and then he was on the wing defending with one arm, and they actually, with a bit of help from someone else, turned the ball over, took the guy out in the touch. And I thought it was a brave showing. And with Dugan, I feel dreadfully sorry for him because he has the reputation of being soft. We've seen him play. He's not soft. He's very injury prone, which sucks. Hopefully he gets on the field this week for us.
Yeah, and I wonder if any of that static's getting back to Moylan, because there's a definite feeling in rugby league land that the Penrith have won the swap, so to speak. Like, Maloney's playing so well.
He is.
And Moylan, he's trying. I mean, I wouldn't say he's playing badly, but it's not quite happening for him. He's certainly not playing at the level of a Maloney. What have you got in terms of stats for the Sharks' performance at Wynn Toilet Wollongong?
They stink just as bad as the place. They've won one of the last 9 or 10 matches. But historically, pre-merge and merge, they've won 6 times in 20 matches.
Wow. All right.
So once in the last, 10 years, it was 2013, the Fifita last-minute try, which was beautiful.
That was a beautiful... That was a funny game, though, because... If you remember, the Dragons named an absolute... They were ravaged by injury, and they named essentially a New right. South Wales Cup standard team.
Right.
And we were flying at that point. Mm. And I remember actually saying that if we lose this game, I'm going to give it away.
Oh.
And we won. But
here you are.
It was exciting times. We pulled that out. We were behind by a mile. We were behind by like 12 with 10 minutes to go.
Mm.
Anyway, so we don't have a good record down there. I will be down there. Come and say g'day.
I may be down there.
Come
TBC.
Down, Samuel.
TBC.
Get on the train, mate. Get on the train.
I'd rather not get on the train and get down there. Imagine all the derricks in that track.
Oh, mate. Yeah.
Not the ones coming from here. I mean, once you go through the other suburbs.
I have seen the worst fan behaviour at that ground.
Doesn't surprise
me. I went with my mate, Max, and his young boy, who now plays for Sharks SG Ball, and he's 6 foot like three and cut like a diamond. So we lay this guy out now. But Kai was about, this is about 2010, so he would have been about 10 years old at this time. And he's walking in, he's a young kid, he's got his Sharks jersey on, and this toothless redneck gets up in his face and goes, "You're going to lose tonight, you C word."
Wow. At that point, I'm seriously, I mean, yeah, I want to knock the guy out, but I don't really believe in violence and unless it's necessary. I'm calling police. I'm calling security. I'm screaming. Not like a. I'm making a point that this guy needs to be thrown out or punished. And the same when I'm up in the ivory tower or whatever. If someone's just like being a real trouble, you got to call them on it, man. Just like, this is the world we all live in. Let's share it. I know we're in your cesspool of a ground, but get out of my grill. I'm 10 years old.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible, mate. And it was a grown man. It was a grown man saying it to a kid.
Yeah, we have lots of friends who unfortunately go for that team. So we're not painting them all, but you certainly have.
They've got a massive peanut gallery.
They do.
I mean, let's not forget that when they won the comp, someone was killed.
Let's not forget the fact that they celebrate then one of their number one fans, who actually is, and I hate using this word because of my history, he's a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Wow.
Anyway, we are going to wrap it up. This is getting me pumped up now. Now I'm getting excited because I want the boys to get in there and win. And we could give them a lesson, like in how to play grubby, knockdown, drag them out football, which is, I think, what will happen. So in terms of predictions, I think if we're going to win, it's going to be something like 14-10. I think that hopefully they're up for the game. Surely they realise that the season is slipping and they need to change gears. And I'll be very disappointed if they don't come out all guns firing and really ripping in.
That's all we want. We didn't quite get it last week. It's a local derby. You know what that means to us. I think you're right. It'll be low scoring. And if we can keep them to low scoring, it's brilliant because they're having a breakout season. They're scoring the most points in the NRL. We're scoring the least. Most of the stats, Newman, they're topping them and we're at the bottom in attack. Defense, we're doing a lot better, but their defense is pretty good too.
But things have been up and down this season too.
Like I know.
1 week a team's good, the next week they're rubbish, and just it's hard to get a read.
Well, unfortunately, they have been up every week.
All right, so we'll see you down there. And as we say every week,
go, you little Sharkies, give us some hope.
Come on, we need you to win.